And pray and get right into our lesson. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Father, thank you for this training center. Thank you for Apostle Thompson, who has the vision for this. God, we give you glory and we give you honor for what you're going to do in this class, not only in this particular class, but in all the other instructor classes that we have tonight. Father, may your ultimate plan, may your ultimate goal, may your ultimate purpose for our lives be revealed. Holy Spirit, you're the only one that can properly escort us into the supernatural. So therefore, we yield to you, Holy Spirit. You're the great revealer. So we expect you to open up God's word to us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you want to, you can follow me in the books. I receive, sir. You can follow me in the book. I'm on chapter 2. And I'm pretty much going directly in line with the book. As I said, this book has a lot of information in it and a lot of information I do not want to skip over. And so I want to make sure you get this information. Now, here is set this up. Jesus is talking to his disciples. Jesus asks a very important question, because this question is going to separate man's purpose for the church and God's purpose for the church. This one question that Jesus is going to ask. Here in the 13th verse of that 16th chapter, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Now, this next verse is very pivotal. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now watch how Jesus answered Simon Bar-Jonah. Simon Peter. Watch how he answered him. And Jesus answered and said it unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for," watch this, "flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Now that is very key, because now we're seeing two sources of information. We're in this particular passage, we're discovering two sources of information. We're discovering a source of information from man, and we're discovering a source of information from God. Man has an opinion about who Jesus was. Just like in that same instance, man will have an opinion about your life. Man will have an opinion about what you should do. Man will always have an opinion. But God always has truth. Are you seeing this? It's impossible for God to have anything else but truth because he is truth. Are you seeing this? So Jesus said this in verse 17. Jesus said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Verse 18, and I say also unto thee, he's continuing, because now Jesus allowed Peter and the disciples around to discover two sources of information. Then Jesus continued to explain the difference between the two sources of information and how important it is that we distinguish between the two. Because a lot of times the two can sound similar. The two sources can sound similar. Watch this. Verse 18, he said, and I say unto thee, that thou art Peter. Now watch this. He said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell should not prevail against it. Now watch this. He wasn't talking about Peter he's going to build a church on. Matter of fact, what he really was doing with Peter was telling Peter, I need you to change your character. All right, watch. Go back to verse 17. And Jesus said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon, who? Right? But then now Jesus is calling him Peter. Look in verse 16. The Bible was already changing his name before he knew it. I'm going to need you to change your character because your character is going to have to change if you want this permanent source of information from the Father. So that means we can't be living no any kind of way and expect to get the source of information from the Father. So he changed Peter's name, talking about the purpose of the church. He changed Peter's name and told Peter, upon this rock, this, other words, this foundation, or watch this, this process of you getting information is how I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail, won't be able to do anything about it, can't become victorious on it, can't conquer it, can't stop it, can't do nothing about it. If you can master this process of receiving information, nothing will be able to defeat you. So now we see the difference, about to introduce a word that we all recognize, but it's about to become rhema to you. Now we begin to see the difference between information and revelation. See, anybody can give you information, but only God can give you revelation. Oh, what is revelation? Let's define what is revelation. Revelation is insight into a situation that you can't get from nobody else but God. Man will always give you information. Information will always come from man's opinion. Listen to that, internet. Information can come from man's opinion, but revelation can only come from truth. And Jesus said, Simon. And he said, watch this, but Jonah. Then he said, Peter, this is how I'm going to build my church. How I'm going to build my church? I'm going to build my church off of my disciples understanding how to receive revelation from God our Father. Is this making sense? So now that we're dealing with revelation and not just information, we can't just deal with logos or the written word of God. We now have to begin to deal with rhema. Other words, rhema are words that God, that leaps off of the Bible pages. Information, current. Revelation that is useful today. Information that comes from God that will give us an advantage over our enemy is revelation. This is how God is going to build the church. So now, if God is building a church on revelation, then a lot of teaching, a lot of preaching is going to have to be eliminated. if it's not revelation. See, just because we're able to tell a story about the Bible don't mean it's revelation. Just because we might sound good when we speak it don't mean that it's revelation. Because the one acid test of revelation is, once I hear it and once I apply it, does anything change? If I hear information and I think it's revelation and I try to apply it and nothing changed, it was not revelation. Because according to the out of mouth of Jesus, out of his words, he said, on this rock, on this process, I'm going to build a church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So that means when you get revelation, it is impossible for you to be defeated in that situation. Are you seeing this? So here we see two sources of information. Information that can be man's opinion. See, the church cannot be built off of man's opinion. The church cannot be built off of man's strategy. Because Jesus said, upon this process, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell should not prevail against it. So anything else that the church is built on, the gates of hell will be able to prevail. So now here, this is why now we have churches that are becoming lukewarm and are able to, see, we can't become the world to win the world. We can't become like them to win them. We have to have distinction. We have to have differences. We have to be able to be picked out amongst a crowd. We can't become the same. So that means our information can't come from the same place. See, all this stuff that's happening in the world, if you read, even if you don't understand Revelation, the book of Revelations, if you go and read the book of Revelations, there's no reference made to any of that stuff happening to us. So watch this. If all that stuff that happened in Revelation doesn't happen to us, then why do we focus on it? We have to stay in this present moment. I need a revelation now. I need a daily bread. Daily. Every day. I need to hear the voice of God. I need, my source of information has to come from God, not from man. See, when you begin to understand what revelation is and where it comes from, and understand that the church is built on revelation, then when you begin to look for information, you're just not going to look anywhere. And then you ain't going to accept it from everybody. Because watch this. When Jesus changed Simon's name to Peter, right? His character had to change. Meaning that God cannot allow revelation to flow through somebody who has a corruptible character. So that means, watch this. So that means, listen to that very carefully. That means I can almost eliminate people who try to give me revelation. Because I'm looking at their character. I don't care how good it sounds. I don't care how it may even fit your situation. But if it ain't coming from a clean character, then the gates of hell is going to prevail against it. And so we've been trying to build a church off of man's strategy. We've been trying to build a church off of man's opinion, what he thinks the church should do, what direction he thinks the church should go in, the way she thinks it ought to be, instead of getting revelation from God. Because last I checked, Christ is the head of the church. So if the church needs to do something, it needs to get permission from the head. Are you seeing this? So we have to understand that there are two sources of information. Now, I want you to understand two sources of information. Because Jesus warned us in that 16th chapter, he warned us that people were going to come in with some false doctrine. People are going to come in with some crazy theology. people gonna come in with man-made revelation. Like, for instance, this thing about grace, where I could just do whatever and God has me covered, that is a lie. If you can do anything and you covered, then why did God put that tree in the Garden of Eden? Why did Adam and Eve have to leave? Why? And watch this. If grace works that way, see, watch this. Let's talk about grace for a minute. Let's talk about grace. It's a little side journey. We'll come back to the purpose of the church. Grace is an empowerment. What grace does is empowers you to do something that you can't do on your own. That's grace. That's what it is. So in other words, some people like to translate grace into favor. Well, it means the same thing, because when you find favor, that means you're able to walk through a door that you couldn't walk through before on your own. That means you begin to accomplish something that you couldn't accomplish on your own. So grace empowers you. And so now we talk about God's grace covering our sins. What it's really saying is God is now empowering us to rise above our sins. So watch this. I cannot abuse grace, because it is an empowerment for me to do something that I can't do on my own. Are you seeing this? So watch this. If grace works that way, just to get me out of sin every time I decide to get in, I choose to do it. If grace works that way, then why did Jesus die? Because he didn't have to die if we're going to live the same way. If you plan on living the same way, he didn't have to die. All God had to do was open the doors to the church. Open the doors to heaven, let you in. All God had to do was just start talking to you. Forget the name change from Simon Bar-Jonah to Peter. He could just talk to you. Jesus died, and we're going to talk about this later on. Jesus died so that sin can be defeated. Sin can be eradicated. So if Jesus died for sin to be eradicated, how dare we take grace and say we can just do what we want? Because I'm dishonoring the blood of Jesus. I am ignoring the price that Jesus paid when he died on the cross. I'm ignoring the pain he went through. I'm ignoring what it cost him. When I make up my mind that I'm going to use the grace that he expensed from the cross to do what I want to do. So doctrines like that would enter the church, which comes from man's opinion. But it ain't revelation. Oh, it sounds good. Oh, yeah, they even take the Bible out of context to prove their point. Because in 1 John, begin to talk about he that commits sin. That word commits actually means he that is committed to. Somebody that has made a conscious decision, this is what I'm going to do. Are you seeing this? Two sources of information. We, the church, cannot be built on interpretation of the scriptures of those who have stopped moving with God. Those that have stopped moving with God, we cannot build a church on revelation or information from those that have stopped moving with God. When we follow people that stop getting revelation from God and refuse to advance with God, because watch this, God is always moving. God is always moving forward. When we follow those that are not always moving forward with God and connected to that eternal source of revelation, it denies them and those that are following the potential of achieving their full potential. It'll stop them in their tracks. The best way, watch this, the best way to expose the inaccurate teachings and doctrinal errors is by raising a new breed of disciples who will live and model the revealed truth God is currently speaking. The disciples who understand and live out of the new revealed truth will be the standard bearer to those who choose to be offended by what God has revealed to us. So you see, when Jesus asked them, who do men say that I am? It opened the door for the disciples to be exposed to man's opinion. So they begin to see, some say thou art Isaiah. Now, why was that revelation to Peter? It was revelation to Peter because Jesus, watch this now, Jesus never told nobody who he was. Come through Matthew 1 through 16. Jesus himself never told him who he was. Matter of fact, when Jesus would heal somebody, he would tell him, don't go tell him who did this. That was twofold. The reason why that was twofold, really, if you go to, turn me to 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter. I'm going to tell you why Jesus did that. 2 Corinthians. Watch this. 2 Corinthians. The 2nd chapter. Let's go there right quick. And I'm going to show you why Jesus did that. 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, I'm going to say 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter. Verse 6. Paul talking. Paul say, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world. That, once again, you see the two sources of information? You see it? He said, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world, that they come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even a hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Here it is, which none of the princes of the world, this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. See, what we must understand is Satan is not omnipresent. God is omnipresent, but Satan is not. So he can't be everywhere at once. Matter of fact, when Jesus was tempted of the devil, if you notice how the devil was addressing him, he said, if you be, he kept asking, if you be, you can do this. If you be, you can do this. You notice Jesus never replied, I am. Because Jesus was showing us the importance of having his information, revelation come from God. So when you got revelation that comes from God, you don't have to save face in front of nobody. See, when you got revelation, other people got information, let them ride the information. You hold on to your revelation. Because the gates of hell, the gates of hell can prevail against information, but it can't prevail against revelation. Is this making sense? So we have to make sure we have down pat, we're able to recognize revelation as compared to information. And sometimes information will sound like revelation. And so if I'm not able to decipher the two, then sometimes I'll be grabbing information thinking I have revelation. And sometimes I will ignore revelation because I thought it was information. Is this making sense? So this is why we have to be trained to receive revelation. Jesus was training Simon Bar-Jonah to receive information. He was training them to receive. You have to be trained to receive revelation. You just don't get it. You have to train. You have to, what I mean by train, it simply means you have to begin to spend time with God. You have to be connected to somebody who has revelation, who is experienced with getting revelation. Not experienced with rhyming. I said revelation. Is this making sense? Now, sometimes it's going to rhyme. But that's not a qualification for it to be revelation. Because some stuff sounds good. It sounds like it's right. It just sounds so good. But it's man's opinion. And the gates of hell will come against its good sounding self. Are you seeing this? Understanding the two informations. When the church is built on the opinions of men, it will abort the purposes of God as well as God's assignment for her. See, Peter swung himself. Even after Peter had his name changed, he swung between two sources of information. Because later on, Peter was the one that cut the ear off of the guards that were coming to get Jesus. It was time for Jesus to go, to do what he had come to do. And Peter cut his ear off. He said, Peter said, I ain't letting nobody come get you, Jesus. And what did Jesus turn around and say? He rebuked him. This man tried to save his life, and Jesus rebuked him. Why? Because Peter was operating off of information and not revelation. See, the children of Israel, when Jesus was walking the earth, they swung between so many opinions. Some of them thought he was a prophet. Some of them thought he was John. Some of them wanted him to become their next political king. They swung through all those opinions instead of getting a revelation from God about why Jesus was here. When you have information that flows directly from God, it's impossible for you to be fooled. This is why Adam and Eve messed up, because they didn't get information or revelation from God. They let an enemy come in and begin to tell them information that wasn't even true. So they got the information from another source, and that other source got them kicked out of paradise. Do you see how important it is to distinguish between information and revelation? The church cannot be built on the opinions of men and on the crowd's settlement. This is why you're going to learn about government so much in this church, because what we've been used to is we've been used to the church being run from the bottom up. If I don't like what Pastor doing, I'm going to take my tithes and go somewhere else. Because now you're trying to run the church with your money. Or I don't like the way things are going here. Pastor makes a change. You know, or your leader makes a change, and you say, I don't like the way things are going here, so I'm just not going to participate. But the church can never. Can I be real honest with you all? That's what's wrong with our country. We got a great country, don't get me wrong, but we can't get it together. We so busy bickering and arguing, and everybody, I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat, I'm an independent, I'm this, I'm that, and we can't get nothing done because it's trying to be run from the bottom up. The greatest government that has ever existed was a theocracy. And when God spoke, man delivered what God spoke, and everybody followed. How do you think the children of Israel got out of Egypt? They got out of Egypt because a man that God sent in said, hey, I'm going to need y'all to do these few things. The death angel coming. I'm going to need you to get some blood. Put over your mantle. That's what I'm going to need you to do. It's going to be the first Passover. You don't want to miss this first Passover, because if you miss this first Passover, it ain't going to be no more for you. Theocracy. God led them into the wilderness. They want to know how they're going to be fed. God fed them with manna. They want to know what they're going to drink. Moses struck a rock. Water come out. Was supposed to speak the second time, struck it again, got in trouble, but water still came out. Are you seeing this? You're going to begin to understand government. The church cannot be built on man's opinion or the crowd sentiment. So we going through it now at Word of Life. We going through it now, right now. We're changing our style of worship to be, quote unquote, less Afrocentric, where we get emotional and don't even pay attention to God's glory coming in. To now, we're focusing on him. We're talking to him. We're not letting we're not letting the instruments do our talking for us. Even though the instruments do talk, but as Apostle said Sunday, our voice speaks louder than the instruments. Are you seeing this? So now you got some, and what like they, you know, I'm not praising him. Isn't it, huh? They standing there looking around, and what they saying is, I don't like this, I'm not doing it. Or they still down when the power of God, and I'm now. But the church cannot be run. So how I know this? What's the... See, here's one thing. Here's one thing you cannot deny. You can argue theory. You can argue information. You can even argue revelation with people. What you cannot argue with, you can't argue with results. You can say what you want. You can't argue with results. I had scoliosis. My back wasn't, my spine wasn't straight. We got in the glory of God. Now my back's straight. I was dealing with high blood pressure. We got in the glory of God. My blood pressure is now down. I was taking insulin, more insulin than I need to take. Now we got in the glory of God. God touched me. You think we gonna pay attention to the ones that's not wanting to praise God? The church cannot be built on the opinions of others or the sentiments or the crowd's sentiments. Are you seeing this? So, in other words, don't you be a part of the crowd. Everything, every change that is made, you're not going to understand all of them. This is why it's important that you are connected and following somebody you can trust. Because every change that God makes to a church, to a group of people, you may not understand all of the changes that are made, but if you trust who the changes are coming through, you'll get credit for whatever happens in the place. You'll get credit for whatever happens in the house. So the people who become part of the crowd is the people who can't trust. So it's easy. See, I always tell people this. God does not change. Just because there are untrustworthy leaders in the body of Christ don't mean he's going to change the way he works. So all we have to do is find trustworthy leaders. See, he ain't changing because they're untrustworthy leaders. He's not changing his principle. It's just now up to us to find trustworthy leaders. Because his government is not going to change. He's still going to make his ways known to Moses and his acts to the people. That ain't changing. That's going to be till Jesus come back. So if that's the case, if I need to find somebody that I can be connected to that I can trust, because every change that come, I'm not going to understand. And if I'm one of the ones that don't trust, if you don't trust, and then on top of that you don't understand, you're going to become part of the crowd that don't want to shift with the changes. Are you seeing this? Don't be a part of the crowd. There are the three major purposes of the church. I'm going to give them to you in case we don't get to all of them in this particular class. The church must be connected to heaven and reveal the Father. Number two, the church must shut down the gates of hell. And number three, the church must extend the kingdom without limitations. Now, listen to what the three purposes of the church again. I'm going to go over them again. The church must be connected to heaven and reveal the Father. The church must shut down the gates of hell. I'm going to repeat them again. I'm going to ask you a question after this. The church must extend the kingdom without limitation. How in the world are we going to do this on man's opinion or man's information? Because number one, we have to reveal the Father. How are we going to reveal the Father off of man's opinion about... Jesus asked them, who do men say that I am? They couldn't even get that right. Watch how crazy this is that man tries to operate without revelation from God. For centuries, the prophets of old prophesying about Jesus coming. So when he gets here, they still can't recognize him. They still thinking he's somebody else. So if we're going to reveal the Father, we got to let the Father tell us who he is. I can't reveal whom I don't know. I can't represent who I don't know. And if I don't let him reveal himself to me, then I can't reveal him to anybody else. Shut down the gates of hell. How in the world are we going to shut down the gates of hell without revelation? You can have good ideas, but if you don't have revelation, you know what revelation do? Revelation allow you to walk into the same place that somebody has with, into the same place with somebody that has information, and things happen for you in that same place that can't happen for the other person. Why? Because you're dealing with revelation, they're dealing with information. They're dealing with man's opinion. They say, man, you got to have these, you got to have this certain qualification for this job. They saying, you know, they don't, I don't know. They say they now don't know how many they hire for this job. Start sounding like, to me, that starts sounding like the teacher from Charlie Brown. Womp, 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 womp. When you have revelation, man's opinion become womp, 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 womp. Because you have a sure word. You, if God told you this is where you're supposed to be, this is your job. I'm telling you, this is what you say when you're getting there. This is what you do. This is what you put on a resume about yourself that you didn't know about yourself. When you put this down, now you're dealing with revelation. You're not dealing with information. Three, we must extend the kingdom without limitations. Wait a minute. Extend the kingdom without limitations. That is impossible for us to do unless we get revelation. Let's deal with number one. The church must be connected to heaven and reveal the Father. The church that Jesus is building is connected to the flow of revelation from the Father. These revelations are above flesh and blood. God is the revealer. We are the receivers. He is the connecting source of revelation. He is a connected source of information that nobody else knows. Ye have an unction. I think it's John 2:27. You have an unction and ye know all things. That's revelation. The church must become the information highway and gateway from heaven to earth. See, because the church is void of miracles, because the church is void of the ability to stop the gates of hell, because we've been operating off of man's opinion and not revelation. We've been dealing with what man can figure out about God instead of what man can learn from God about God. So the world now goes elsewhere for his information. If you look in the Old Testament, when those kings got in trouble, prime example, 1 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, you ought to turn there. You don't have to turn there. When he got in trouble, when Jehoshaphat got in trouble, he said, God, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord, a prophet. So this is the political system going to the government of God to find out, hey, we don't know what's going to happen. We need to find out what's going to happen. Why? Because we have to be the source. Watch this. We have to be the gateway of information that comes from heaven to earth. And because we have not been that, the political system, man, they all disrespect the church. Are you seeing this? That's going to change. The church operates under the authority of the heaven. It reveals and expresses the one who is in heaven. It operates with heavenly resources provided by God in the heavenly realm. Wow, listen to this. The church becomes God's conduit pipe for the transfer of heavenly blessings to the earth. Now watch this statement now. The church is the unseen body of Christ himself. So that means when people see us, they're supposed to see Christ's likeness. Not just in how we act, not in just in how we treat them, but in what results we can get in our lives. Not Christ's likeness because I can treat you nice. Christ's likeness because you know that when I face a situation, the gates of hell will not prevail against me. So now you won't know who I am. You won't know who I'm with. Now I tell you who I'm with, and you can get with that same person. See, witnesses is not so much about your mouthpiece. How well you know Romans 10:9-10. 10, 8, 9, and 10. That's not witnessing about. Witnessing is I'm able to establish in front of your eyes what I'm telling you. See, are you seeing this? Why? So that those who touch her, hear her, talk about the church, and connect with her, come into contact with her head, the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we begin to operate all the revelation instead of information, it begins to eliminate all the hypocrisy in the church. It begins to eliminate all the different agendas in the church to where we can operate off of the true purposes of the church. What were the three purposes again? Let's look at them again. What's the three purposes again? The three purposes was connect to heaven and reveal the Father. Number two, shut down the gates of hell. And number three, extend the kingdom without limitations. Are you seeing this? Very important. Number two, the church must shut down the gates of hell. The second purpose of the church is to destroy every, goodness gracious alive, is to destroy every trace of sin, sickness, and satanic forces on the earth. It didn't say, watch this, our author didn't say some, every. God cast Satan out of heaven into the earth to be punished, watch this, to be punished by man who was placed in a garden to rule and reign. So watch this, God say, in other words, when God kicked Satan out of heaven because he tried to rise up, he said, I'm going to show you how powerless you are. I'm going to have a creation that I'm then in turn going to give dominion to kick your butt forever. So watch this now. Watch this. If you notice, when Adam and Eve messed up, Jesus himself had to go through those same temptations. When Satan took him into the wilderness, he went through those same temptations just so Satan can realize that the creation that God had made was true to have dominion over him. Because he had ran all those years thinking he had done something because he tricked the first two. So then Jesus was the only one that could come as the sinless lamb and face those temptations. This is what Jesus did when he walked the earth. Jesus walked the earth, and in 33 years, this is what Jesus did. Jesus came to the earth, number one, showed us how to walk in the earth realm. Number two, fulfilled all 600 plus laws that God wrote in the Old Testament. Faced the same temptation that Satan gave Adam and Eve. Then went and died, went to hell, got the keys, and told him, these are no longer yours. You don't run this earth no more. took them from them, turned around and gave them to us. Are you seeing this? So now this is why, go back to Matthew, the 16th chapter, because I said a key word, keys. Keys. Matthew, the 16th chapter, keys. We got about 3 more minutes. Keys. I'm going to close with this, and we'll finish chapter 2 next week. Matthew, the 16th chapter, watch this. 16. He said in verse 19, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So now here it is. Jesus said, "I'm going to give all to us the keys of the kingdom." Keys simply means, every time you have keys, you unlock something. What it's simply saying, I'm giving you the authority to unlock revelation. I'm giving you the ability to unlock revelation. That's why, Satan, all before Jesus died on the cross, in between Adam and Eve messing up, thank you, Holy Spirit, listen to me very closely. Between Adam and Eve messing up, and Jesus died on the cross, Satan had the hope on revelation. Because if you read in the Old Testament, only certain people could access revelation. Everybody wasn't privy to revelation. But now that Jesus has died on the cross and took the keys back, every last one of us can get revelation. So no longer, watch this, no longer do we have to walk in darkness and just follow instructions. As soon as our man and woman of God change direction, we can immediately go to God and say, "God, talk to me about this." And God will talk to you about what changes are being made so that you can fully understand. That's why he said, "In all thy getting." So because you might not understand the move this Sunday, thank you. Because you don't understand the move this Sunday, that don't mean you got to go back and talk about, "I don't understand this." During the week, say, "God, talk to me about this." Because the keys have been given back to you. Are you seeing this? Sorry, what's the three purposes of the church? Talk to me. Connected to heaven for what purpose? To reveal the Father. Number two, shut down the gates of hell. And number three, extend the kingdom without limitations. Next week, we'll continue. Not next week. Next week, we'll be in class. We will be in class. Next week, we will be in class because, for those that don't know yet, Apostle changed. We're going to start Wednesday in Baton Rouge at World Shakers instead of Tuesday. So we will be in class Monday and Tuesday. All right? So I'm glad I thought about that so I can remind you about that. We'll be in class Monday and Tuesday. And so next week we'll continue chapter 2. So you can finish reading chapter 2. We're going to go through the crucifixion, every step that Jesus made in the crucifixion from his death, his burial, and his resurrection did something to Satan, and we're going to find out all what it did to Satan. Y'all have a good evening. I receive.
I put on that, leave you with this one, and I tried to type it in my phone, and the doggone spell check, but spell check be helping me out sometimes. I put in my phone, I said, "What's the point? Accept Jesus in their heart so that their heart becomes his heart." Remember we said that just a minute ago? Then it says, I tried to put, so now the attributes of Christ begin to live within us, but my spell check put love. So now the attributes of Christ begins to love within us. I'll read. It ain't church till it's helping somebody else. Outside the building.